Welcome to the School of Dean.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وارض اللهم عنا معهم أجمعين، اللهم آمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam and students of knowledge, welcome to this new course, Back to Shape. This is your brother Wael Ibrahim, and inshallah I'll be teaching this course in parts. So part one will consist of 11 videos, 11 classes. Each class will have one PowerPoint presentation and one quiz exam. So for you to complete the entire course, you need to go through the materials provided and you need to pass the quiz exams given. Plus, there will be a final exam after you finish, inshallah, the entire course, the entire 11 videos, inshallah. Aside from that, I'll be giving some assignments, some homeworks, although they will not be included in your grades, in the final grades of the course. But I think they are very, very practical and very, very essential for serious students of knowledge, because it will help you to practice what we have learned. And as Imam Al-Ghazali said, العلم بلا عمل جنون والعمل بلا علم لا يكون. So knowledge without action is madness, and action without knowledge doesn't really exist. So one of the main objectives of this course is to revive back the Islamic manners, which are very integral part of our faith. Yet, unfortunately, they became forgotten or neglected. So one of the main aim, the main goal of this course is to bring these back, to bring these manners back into practice, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those people who hear the words of Allah, listen to the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and implement them to the best of our ability, inshallah. So let us get started. First of all, prepare your notebooks, because sometimes, you know, the materials provided does not include everything that I'm going to speak about today, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, O Muslims, O mu'min, O you have acknowledged the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admitted that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say something that you do not act upon? Why do you utter things that you do not practice? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this beautiful, beautiful ayah, is drawing our attention to the fact that there are some Muslims who teach, for example, parents who teach their children, do not ever lie, but they themselves will be called by the children lying, or they will ask their children to lie on their behalf in many, many situations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning such Muslims, and this ayah is addressing the believers, those who have already admitted that Allah is their Lord and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is their messenger. So Allah is addressing this to the believers who sometimes say something, preach something, yet they themselves fail to practice or to adhere to this teaching. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue by saying, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is indeed most hateful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say something that you do not act upon. From the beginning, my brothers and sisters, we note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the believers and telling them that this is one of the characteristics of true Muslims, is to, when you say something, you stick to your word. When you say something, you do it. You practice it, you act upon what you say. So it's not only about prayers and fasting and hajj and charity and so on and so forth. These acts of worship were given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were made mandatory on the believers for a reason: to make you a better human being, to make you a well-mannered person. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have praised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran by saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Most certainly, O Muhammad, you are standing on the top of all moral characters. When it comes to manners, when it comes to everything, anything related to manners or related to any other thing in life, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands on the top. And he is your role model, my brothers and sisters. We eat according to his lifestyle. We sleep according to his lifestyle. We even go to the toilet according to his lifestyle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a perfect model to follow. He is our role model. And when it comes to manners, we need to follow him as well. So let us learn what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us about manners. Let us learn the relationship, the connection between acts of worship that were given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and behaviors, ethics and manners as well. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the earliest narrations that he have told to his companions and to us is إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to perfect manners. One of his missions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to perfect manners, to call us to good behaviors and good ethics. Of course, he came to also ask the Muslims and ask the Arabs and ask everyone else to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main mission of all the prophets. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنَا أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that we have sent in every nation a messenger telling his people, worship Allah and stay away from any false deities, from any false god. This is the most important mission the prophets were sent with. However, the Prophet ﷺ have additional missions, and one of them is to perfect manners. He came to people who used to marry their stepmothers, who used to bury their daughters alive, who used to be drunkard all the time. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told them, I have come to call you to the right and proper lifestyle, subhanAllah. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to emphasize on the importance of manners and the rewards of manners. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, for instance, and he told him, O Prophet of Allah, we know one lady who is very popular in her salah. She pray a lot. She pays zakah a lot. She fast a lot. And so the Prophet ﷺ was listening, and the man is listening to him the virtues of such a lady who pray a lot, who pay zakah, who fast, and so on and so forth. And then the man continues by saying, but she harm her neighbors with her tongue. So despite her prayers, her charities, her fasting, and all acts of worship, she does something which the Prophet ﷺ considered to be a sinful act that would actually cause the destruction of this lady. The Prophet ﷺ said what? لا خير فيها هي في النار. There is no goodness in such a lady. She is in hellfire. Excuse me? She's in hellfire with her salah, with her fasting, with her zakah? Yes. Why? Because she did not control her tongue from harming others. SubhanAllah. Can we now, by then, we will start to realize the importance of being very good worshipper as well as very well-mannered. Both go hand in hand. You cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the right manners. And you cannot be well-mannered without worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are intertwined, my brothers and sisters. And this is this course is all about, that we wanted to, inshallah, come up with a group of people, or the nation, inshallah. Yani my ambition is to see all the Muslims are very good worshippers as well as well-mannered. On the other side, there was a lady who used to commit shameful acts prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zina. She was a prostitute. But because of her act of mercy, when she saw a thirsty dog, she descended a well. She fills up her shoe with water and she quenched the thirst of a dog. Because of this simple act, she was admitted to paradise, despite her sin that she used to commit. SubhanAllah. So the lesson from this, my brother and sister, is number one, do not ever look down upon the sinners. When you look at someone who is not as righteous or as religious as you are, do not ever look down upon him or upon her, because maybe they have got something in their heart that will elevate them and make them, enter Jannah. And maybe because of your arrogance, because of your pride, maybe you yourself will be admitted to hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Again, let us emphasize more on the importance of having the, of being good worshippers as well as well-mannered. The Prophet ﷺ, in a narration, he was sitting with his companions and he started to ask them, do you know who is the bankrupt Who is the one who have got nothing? So the companion said, the one who doesn't have neither dirham nor dinar, the one who doesn't have money, that's the poorest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected that misconception by saying, no, it is the man who will come on the day of judgment with a lot of prayers, a lot of fasting, a lot of charities, again, worship. A man will come with all these acts of worship, a lot of them on the day of judgment, but on the, at the same time, he will come having insulted so-and-so, slandered so-and-so, consumed the wealth of so-and-so, and shed the blood of so-and-so. So these people will come on the day of judgment, and they will start to piling, you know, to pile up his own good deeds. They will take from his own good deeds, and it will go to their own account, subhanAllah. Not only that, but when his good deeds are over, they will start giving him their own sins. And at the end, he will find himself with nothing, absolutely nothing at all. And at the end, he will be admitted to hellfire with all his salah, with all his charity, with all his fasting. So be careful, my brothers and sisters. Something to reflect upon, to ponder upon is your salah is not gonna get you into Jannah. Your salah was meant for you to improve your characters and behavior so that you can go to Jannah. But salah itself, the worship itself, will not take you to Jannah. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those people who perform the salah because it's an obligatory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the impact of the salah is a translation for our actions later on. Ameen. Let us reflect more, inshallah. Worship or manners. I always ask the students, you know, the on-site participants in workshops or in courses. I ask them, you know, according to what do you think? Prayers or worships are more important than manners, or the other way around? Manners are more important than worship. Most of them, they will always say worship is more important. And this is what we were taught, like you must pray, you must pay the zakah, you must go to Hajj, you must fast during the month of Ramadan. I know they are very important, and I'm not trying to belittle acts of worship here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to tell you that neglect the worship and become a well-mannered person. No. These acts of worship are very important. They are obligatory. Anyone who neglected them will be sinful in the sight of Allah. Again and again, I will repeat that so that it can stick in your mind. We wanted to develop a nation who can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, not just worship Allah, but properly, as well as having the right ethics and behaviors according to Islam, if you want to be a complete Muslim. Let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the salah. Allah said in the Quran, Bismillah.
اتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.
Recite of the book of the revelation that we have sent to you down, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Quran, and establish the salah. Why, Ya Allah? Why should we establish the salah? Because salah prevents you from committing shameful activities. That is the purpose of salah. Do we pray like that? Do we pray with that intention that when I pray five times, you know, the five daily salah, are they having the right impact on me afterwards or no? If I am praying now but cheating later, lying, scolding, you know, my children, abusing my wife, what is the impact of the prayers, of the five daily prayers? And they are five. And sometimes, you know, our non-Muslim friends will come and say, why do you pray too much? Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that from one salah to another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the sins that have been committed in between. That's the purpose of salah, to cleanse you, to purify you, to have a positive impact on your life. Where is the translation of the salah in your daily activities and dealing with people? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, imagine if in front of your, you know, your home there is a river and you used to bathe yourself in that river five times a day. Will there be dirt left on you by the end of the day? Naturally not. Naturally no. You shower five times a day. There will be no dirt on you anymore. And that is the purpose of our salah, is to purify you spiritually, to cleanse you from sins, you know, spiritually. SubhanAllah. That is the purpose of salah. Have we thought about it before? Have we thought that this salah, these rituals that we are performing day and night, have we thought that they have an impact and their main purpose is to keep you away from shameful activity? Let us go for another act of worship, zakah or sadaqah, charity. الله سبحانه وتعالى سيدنا القرآن خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها. Take portion of their wealth, of their you know money, and give to the poor. Why? So that you can purify them with it, to clean them with it. When you give charity, my brothers and sisters, what do we learn? We learn generosity. We learn to be merciful to the poor and merciful to one another. That is the purpose of zakah. And it purifies you from inside, subhanAllah. That is zakah, tazkiyah. When you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, you know, cleanse your sins and mistakes. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this, you know, sadaqah, it quench the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what acts of worship is all about. It makes you a better human being. Fasting, Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
O you who believe, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers here. Fasting was prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for the people before you. Why, Ya Allah? Why you made fasting obligatory? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may perhaps become a pious person. Piety. When you fast, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't get angry. When someone is quarreling with you or fighting with you or abused you in any form or shape, do not respond in the same way. Otherwise, you will just be like him. But the Prophet ﷺ said what? Say instead, إِنِّي صَائِمْ إِنِّي صَائِمْ. I am fasting, I am fasting. Meaning, if I'm fasting, I cannot act foolishly. I cannot act in a way that would, you know, create hatred in the society and make people fight one another and make people hate one another. That's the purpose of fasting, to make you a pious person. Taqwa. Taqwa, my brother says, the main purpose of fasting is taqwa, to develop self-piety, God-consciousness in your heart. Not just to feel hungry and thirst. Let us talk about Hajj. One of the toughest experience, one of the toughest forms of worship is pilgrimage. To go with 3 million or 4 million people in one place, walking around, circumambulating, between Safa and Marwa, running back and forth. It's difficult. It's not easy. You are required to be absolutely patient if someone elbow you or someone push you. As sometimes we experience in Hajj, you are told to be a disciplined person. Acts of worship were meant to discipline the believers, not to just, you know, have rewards. You will get the rewards, of course. Allah will lift the obligation from you if you are performing salah on time, if you are fulfilling your duties. But if these acts of worship were not reflected on your behaviors and characters, in my opinion, they carried no weight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran,
فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ.
Once you are on pilgrimage, once you intend to go to Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ, no intercourse with one's spouses, وَلَا فُسُوقَ, no wrongdoing, no disobedience, وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, and there is no even arguments in Hajj. When somebody argue with you, just, you know, keep quiet, be calm, and enjoy your rituals without, you know, having any anger in your heart or jealousy or envy or any of these, you know, heated behaviors within our hearts. Be calm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There is no even arguments in Hajj. With every act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing for us in the Quran, it has been made obligatory for you to be a disciplined believer. That's the purpose of acts of worship. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in listing down the characteristics of successful believers in Surah Al-Mu'minun, and this is the first homework for the course and for the week, inshallah, is to read Surah Al-Mu'minun today. I want you to read Surah Al-Mu'minun today and list down all the characteristics of successful believers according to the surah. You would be amazed to see the beautiful balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us, that with every act of worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention, it will followed by an act of well manners. For example, the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ.
الله أكبر. Successful believers are those who pray with khushu', with concentration, not just to pray, not just quickly finish because there is a match or there is this, and those who focus, those who reflect upon what they're reading, they are successful. Success will start with the salah in this world, and it will benefit you and it will make you successful in the hereafter. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the first thing that we will be questioned about in the hereafter is salah. And if it was successful, everything else will be successful. And if it was corrupted, everything else will be, you know, a failure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So focus on the salah, my brothers and sisters. Reflect upon what you are reading. Pause between Surah Al-Fatiha. Look at one of the companions who used to read Surah Al-Fatiha and pause in between. He used to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then pause. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Another pause. So the companions asked, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, why he's reading Al-Fatiha in that manner? The Prophet ﷺ asked him as well. He said, to enjoy the conversation with Allah. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ said, when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the heavens, he boasts about you to the angels by saying, Hamadani Abdi, my servant have praised me. My servant have exalted me, and so on and so forth. But if you are reading in a speed of, like, you know, 100 miles in an hour, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Rahman, Rahim, Malik, if you are reading in that fashion, how in the world will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, engage the angels in such a beautiful conversation? So focus in your salah. That's the beginning of success in this world, and it will benefit you even after you die. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said after that, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ. Another characteristic of a successful believer is those who stay away from vain talk. What is the connection now? Salah, you're talking to me about salah. The Prophet ﷺ said it is the greatest pillar, the backbone of this deen. Salah. And then right after that, controlling your tongue, controlling your ears from listening to vain talks. When somebody comes to you and backbite that sister or that brother, stay away from such vain talk. Such will be the successful believer in this world and in the hereafter. Now your homework is to read Surah Al-Mu'minun, and you will be amazed to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made that beautiful balance, which we have taken as an intention, inshallah, for this course, is to create or to come up with a group of people, to come up with true Muslims who knows their obligatory duties, worship, but they are also perfect in manners. Last ayah I wanted to mention before we close this session, inshallah, is in Surah Al-Ma'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in one part of it, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begin this ayah by saying what? Woe to those who perform salah. Woe to them. Who are these people? Because there are some people who pray in a different way. They pray, with certain deficiency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say what? Who are these people? الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are neglecting their salah. They combine them, for example, without any excuses. They miss Fajr. They pray Fajr at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. or as convenient as they feel. They are neglecting these salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe to them. Be careful, my brother and sister. It's a serious matter. If your salah is not perfect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fix your affairs in this world. And in the hereafter, as we said, you will be among the losers. You will never be successful if your salah is deficient. Be careful. Be careful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And even when they do salah, they show off. Even when they perform salah, or when they do any acts of worship, they are actually doing it for a show. MashaAllah, the brother's sound is very nice. MashaAllah, the brother is standing too long. They are doing it for showing off. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the ayah by saying, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And they even, you know, withhold little help. You know, they prevent themselves from helping people even with little things. Like, you know, if they ask you for a cup of water or some salt or some oil or some, even this, they are so miser that they cannot even give these little help. You see, one worship, salah, and one manner, giving, generosity, being kind, as opposed to being miser and withholding from people. I hope that the idea is now very clear in your mind, my brothers and sisters. This was just an introductory session to the course Back to Shape. Inshallah, from next week or from next class, inshallah, we will start discussing the actual manners that we wanted to revive, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this course beneficial to me before all of you. And jazakum Allah khairan for being patient. Don't forget the homework. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.